Hello, this is Coach Q, and now you're listening to Live to Hoop Podcast, Texas Tigers. Yep. Welcome to the Live to Hoop Podcast, Texas Tigers. Right now, I'm chilling with my dude, very close friend of mine, Coach PJ.
What up?
And this is our very first podcast, so bear with us. We got to work out all the kinks, but I'm sure we'll get it done. So we'll be going over a couple of questions tonight, just to start off. We'll give you a little background of ourselves. Ex D1, D2, college athlete, played a little basketball.
That boy got game, man.
And I had a little bit back in the day, man. And now we're coaching. Well, I coach with the Texas Tigers, and I also train. My company is called Live to Hoop, where we stress, you know, living to hoop is very serious. And if you are a hooper, you understand where we're coming from. I think a lot of our kids really don't understand the meaning of Live to Hoop until they meet people that are really doing it and instill it in them. So that's just a little background on me.
Myself, PJ, and I guess everybody kind of knows me as Coach PJ around town, around San Antonio, a little bit around the state. Played a little bit of basketball myself, man, college, finished at University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, man. And ever since I kind of got out of school, just wanted to coach. Had a little opportunity to play after college, but, man, coaching is just kind of what I've always wanted to do. And once I got into it, I just could never get up out of it, so... This is it, man. Texas Tigers, what we do. Coach a little bit of high school, middle school, but now it's all the club stuff here, man. It's year-round. Just try to get after it all day long.
And the AAU season is on board right now, and it's about to start. So Coach PJ has been everywhere in the city getting kids, and you take us through that process, PJ, just putting your influence in the city. As far as you being at, he's at almost every other game, every important game, or even any game where there's kids playing, he's in the building. So,
man, I don't know how much of an influence I am, but I try to get out there a lot. A lot for myself, a lot for the organization, man, Texas Tigers, a lot to go support the kids that we've had come through the organization, a lot to kind of bring in new kids into the organization. Always kind of felt like, man, you can't really work with a kid in his off season if you don't know what he's like, if you don't know how his game is, what he needs to work on, what he needs to improve, and the things he does. So that's why I kind of always like to get out and see these kids play.
All right, so we're going to just jump right into the first question. It's going to be coaches' commitment to players after they graduate high school and leave college. What type of coach are you, PJ?
As far as, man, like, I mean, what you mean type of...
As far as the commitment to your players after they leave.
Man, I like to stay really involved, man. I try to keep track with all our players that kind of that leave and go off to school, even the ones that don't play. If they go off and don't, they go play or they don't go play, whatever, man. I try to keep up with all of them. I mean, to me, the AAU coaching is all... It's about relationships. So, I mean, it's not just about us dealing with these kids for these 3-4 months during the summer. And once they take off our uniforms, then they don't mean anything to us. Nah, that to me ain't how it's supposed to be.
How many of your ex-players do you communicate with throughout the season, do you think?
Ooh, throughout the season, I mean, I'll probably say 99%. Because, I mean, I think, sure, we have some that come and go. I mean, it kind of... And I don't just say we disown you once you leave, or I disown you once you leave, but man, I focus on the kids that are dedicated to us. The ones that commit to us are the ones that, to me, I'll commit to as well. I mean, we commit to as far as keeping track and making sure everything's going all right. And that's just, to me, is the role of a AAU coach or a coach or a mentor or role model, whatever it may be, just a male figure in these young men's lives.
And... About how many of the kids do you go see play after they leave the program and are in college?
Man, if they're in the state, I go see them. We got two players that have played for us that I haven't seen play in high school. One's in Pennsylvania, one's in Alaska. So man, I have Aaron McBride, who's a brother of Kayla McBride, the Silver Stars. I have his huddle, watch some of the games on huddle. But and then we got Joey Baranko, who yes, you know very yes. well, plays in Alaska.
What up, Joey?
Yeah, man, we try to keep up with him. Shoot, some of his games to be streamed live and stuff like that, man. But yeah, man, if they're here in the state, I think, man, we do a pretty good job of trying to get out to see him.
As a matter of fact, he was just down in Houston, went out to Prairie View to watch one of our players play that actually played for one of my first teams with Texas Tigers. So yeah. It's pretty cool. Mm. Next segment. Well, actually, we're still on this segment. We got about 20 more seconds.
Nah, shoot. We're going to have another. I'm going to go in on this segment.
So we are going to continue the coach's commitment. So y'all bear with us, and we'll be right back. Or just go ahead and click on to the next segment. We're back again. So we're still on the coach's commitment to players after they graduate high school and leave the college.
Yeah, man. And I got a beef about that one, man. Kind of a big beef about it. Because I feel like, man, kids that go play, man, first off, man, parents, families, kids, man, do y'all research. Do your research, man. Like, I understand, man, you definitely have to look out for yourself and put yourself in the best situation you can put yourself in for whatever your purpose of playing summer basketball, AAU basketball is about. But also consider the relationships to me. Consider them. Because to me, it's huge. It's an important thing, man, as far as, if you go play on these out-of-town teams, are you going to be able to get back with them? Are they going to reach out to you? Are they going to be checking up on you? Can you go to them for any advice, recruiting-wise, school-wise, life-wise, any of that stuff? Are they going to be willing to get back with you and make sure everything's going all right? Or do they say, hey, man, yep, I need that uniform back. Man, good job this summer, man, and best of luck to you during your high school year. And to me, I see a lot of that. Because, and only reason I say that is because I get a lot of damn kids, excuse my language, I get a lot of kids and parents that'll just be left out there dry and will come to me like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know. No one's told me to do this. No one said to do that. So, shoot, I end up giving advice. I mean, and I don't know a lot. I don't know a lot. So it's like, damn, man, how do you help this family out, this kid out, man, when you've been with them? That's been supposed to be your guy, man, that you're supposed to look out for. And once the summer is over, well, you just let him go. So you just spent here. Now you got to fend for yourself and make a decision on your own. Like, nah, some of these kids and these parents still don't understand the process. So a lot of them still need a little bit of guidance. Some of them still need a little bit of advice. Some of them still need a little bit of help. So these, man, I see these clubs and programs just ditching them. And I hate to say this, we're just kind of ditch them. Once July is over, once they get back from Vegas, Orlando, wherever it may be that they're at, once they get back, it's over with.
So they don't hear from the coaches or anything?
Nah, man, and you end up kind of taking up the slack a little bit. I mean, I do. I've done it before. I mean, I know other people are doing it in here in town because we have to, because they don't have anybody else to go to. So, man, that's one thing, man. To me, consider the relationships that you can build and kind of hold and keep, like, throughout the whole process, not just through the games. Once everything is over with, you still keep that relationship to where you feel comfortable enough to get some advice or go to for advice and things like that. That's a big, big, big part of also AAU coaching and it just AAU season in general.
So now we're going to talk about the lack of parents' involvement with their children and I'm thinking maybe just overall.
Yeah, the whole process.
So not knowing the recruiting process, not knowing what's expected, not knowing what to expect from the summer, maybe even costs of everything that's included with the whole season.
I definitely, all of it. Because it's a lot, man, that's, I guess, involved with it all, and it's a huge commitment from everybody on both sides, kids, parents, coaches, whatever it may be, it's a huge commitment. So the parent involvement, though, just happens to be, that's a big thing to me. I think kids kind of perform a little better. I know it's something we've kind of talked about with even with Terrence and us, man. We've always kind of like, man, kids are, they're happy to see their parents there. I mean, you look to the sideline and see mom and dad there, brother, sister there, even though they may not be paying attention, they'll be on their phone playing the games or whatever. But just to see the little support there, man, goes a long way. And that's just, man, that's I guess one way to kind of be involved. Yeah, it's not just enough to always just say, here, cut the check, go play. But, man, just to kind of be there and have that little support at games, even though you may not make every single game or every single road trip, but when they do see parents over there, man, I think they feel like they give it a little bit more.
Let me ask you this, Coach PJ. What percentage of parents in your organization aren't there?
Not that aren't there, man. It's hard to say, man, because you got situations where parents can't always be there. So, man, you definitely got to be understanding of that.
This is real.
They got to work to make sure that their kids are able to do these things. And they may not be able to afford to go out on those road trips with them, but they'll do what they got to do to make sure the kid doesn't miss that opportunity. So it's not always that they can't be there, but some trips you're like, man, hey, it's good. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of them. But my thing is, if a game is here in town, man, how many of them aren't there? That's where it's like, hey, man, that's where it's like it's kind of unacceptable a little bit. So you should have, to me, outside of absolute emergencies, to me, it should be 100% parent commitment there watching games. Now, you may not see every single game, but you should be at a couple of games of that tournament if it's there in town. That's something that you shouldn't miss. But that stuff on the road isn't always there easy to get to. So that was understanding. But, man, that's a hard way to say for percentage-wise.
So the next question is, what are the differences between our era and the new era of kids that are playing AAU basketball?
There's a lot of differences. Toughness. Man, I was watching the 30 for 30 today on Big East. Boy, hey. There's no way. I don't think there aren't at all the kids I've seen play this year, there's not one that I would say, hey, you could play in the old Big East.
Not even out of the schools that you saw from Dallas?
No.
At the Whataburger tournament or anywhere?
Not one kid could play in that old Big East. With Patrick Ewing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Literally was, man, elbows, punches. Not one of these kids could take that now.
But look how many pros came out of that old Big East, though, that were featured top 50 players. Even the ACC, too, you look at that. So
yeah, but the Big East was so physical, and almost like, and Georgetown was walking that thin line of like physical and dirty that, man, there's no kids here that, like, I don't know any kids here now, but I don't know a lot of kids that have been able to take that. So that era was crazy. I mean, then you go into a bad boys era with all them. But, I mean, shoot, even you look at just our era when we played.
Right.
Man, we played against older dudes at the park.
We went to the military base.
Yeah.
So,
you play still against older dudes on the base.
Yeah.
The same with us, too. Me.
15 and up.
Damn.
Grown men. And I was playing with grown men when I was like 11, 12 with my dad.
If they let you on.
Right.
Yeah. They won't let you on.
You have one specific job is, man, to shoot or do whatever you were good at.
Man, it really was. It was shoot wide open shots. If you're going to be out here,
right,
shoot wide open shots, man, and don't get in my way.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember going to the gym, seeing Bubba Chuck, Allen Iverson, and Tony Rutland, them guys, man, in high school. And you go in there and be like, man, yeah, I'm getting ready to play on the court with them. Man, yeah, right. Yeah, you're not gonna get on this floor, man. Watch out, little man. I got next. But I've been waiting. I got next, man. Yeah, you're just not getting a run. So you wait your turn, man. And shoot. So you grow up, you get on and kind of show what you can do a little bit. But, man, this era is definitely different, man. It's definitely different. You definitely can't hit nobody, man, because this is the selfie era. So you hit them in the face, man, they can't take a selfie for a week, and it's a problem.
So you got to have the face game right for the IG.
All the time, man. So, yeah, it's definitely a big difference. So, man, shoot, even think about when you play AAU compared to now coaching it, these kids at AAU. Like, what difference is you seeing it?
I think the kids wanted it more, and the kids that I play AAU with, they all had dreams, realistic dreams and goals. And these kids don't have any goals. Like, you ask them what they want to do, and it's just play college basketball, but they're not considering what level. And granted, I was the same way. All I thought about was D1, 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 when there are all these schools out there providing free education. And basketball is just a tool.
Yep.
So you have to use the tool, because sometimes you won't even get out your own city if you don't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I've seen plenty of hoopers that are still in the same place doing the same thing.
Yep.
So if you have an opportunity as far as playing at that next level, these kids are, sometimes they think everything is going to be given to them, I think. Yeah. I played in Dallas. My dad had to ship me out to Dallas after my junior year. And the level of competition was ridiculous. There were two teams. So they had two squads, and practices were ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, the intensity, the players that were bringing it, and you had to actually fight for your spot. If you wanted to play, you had to actually earn it. I was playing with a state champion that played, what's the Rich Park in Dallas?
Shoot, which one?
By SMU.
Shoot, you got a whole bunch of Rich Parks out there playing.
Peter McNulty, he wound up playing at SMU. He grew to be about 6'6". He was like a 5'8" point guard, nasty. Mm. And this kid could straight out play and had the attitude of a dog. Mm. So when he's going at your AU coach, and the AU coach is about to slap him upside the head, but he's ready to fight with him, that just tells you what type. I mean, the change of eras. If Coach PJ goes off on a kid, most of the time they start crying. No, this kid was ready to knuckle up, and it was serious. Like, he actually had to just leave the tournament. Like, he just went home, booked his own flight, and left.
Huh.
So parents had a little money.
Yeah.
But he wound up playing D1, and he was pretty good, pretty good player.
Yeah man, it's a big difference, man. Just AAU. In that era now, like, I didn't play AAU. Played a little locally here with a little team, and my high school buddies, hey, man, come play with us in this tournament here at the Y. Shit, all right. I spent countless hours just by myself in the gym. Like, and that's another difference. I don't think kids, they don't do that. I mean, trainers now. Kids got all
these trainers. Everybody has a trainer.
Like, man, yeah, there was no such thing as a trainer. He was a self-trainer. Or dad was a trainer. Yeah, so I mean, it was, shoot, there was no hiring trainers, no outside people coming in to work with me or work with my brother or none of that. Yeah. Like, nah, man, to me, my trainer was TV. Watch all the basketball I could watch.
Well, you could emphasize on that point too, because these kids aren't watching basketball.
No.
You ask them questions about a player or if they saw the game the other night. And the response is no.
Yeah, you ain't lying, man. Like, going to the Wagner-Westlake playoff game the other night. And I'm seeing a kid come in, and I'm like, hey, where's everybody else from your school? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, man, to me, that's crazy. Like, man, you're out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Obviously, you like basketball. Right. You play it. Man, I would like to think you like it. And you know that these are two of the top teams, not only in our area, but in the state.
Correct.
So, shoot, and it's not a far drive. It's right up the street. San Marcos wasn't far for kids, man, to make. That close drive for Austin, close drive for San Antonio to make. So, like, man, shoot, we should have had a whole bunch of people in there. Yeah, the Steel game was going on, too. So, hopefully, that's where everybody else is at. If you were going to support Steel or you're going to support Wagner. Because, I mean, I think, Alamo Heights was still left in, but they didn't play in town or close. San was out. Cole was still in, but they didn't play close. Hollandale was in there. May have gone to go see them. But, man, for the most part, you know, these two top teams are playing. You're not going to get to see this type of talent on the floor like that often. So, I mean, it's like, shoot, get a chance to get out and go see it. And see what you need to work on. See what these high-caliber kids are doing and get after it, man. But that's another thing I feel like we did when we were younger is we were students of the game.
Right.
We watched each other, man. Right. Yeah, we watched each other. Like, and it's crazy. When I first started with the Tigers, that was the mentality I had. Like, because I had some kids that I was like, man, hey, they're nice. So, and I was still in an age of myself where I still would go play a lot. So I'm like watching what they were doing. I'm like, man, I know I could do this against this old dude, like somebody 26. Exactly. And they just somehow, I don't know why, I just picked up things from these little 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. Like, man, hey, that's all right. I'm sure I can add that to my bag. Like, and went to work on it.
Right.
And just not going to spend countless hours working on it like I'm trying to play in the league or nothing. But, shoot, if I'm out at the gym, lifetime playing, shoot, I'm here. Oh, hit this move on them. Like, ah, man, that's going to work.
But how many kids are doing that, though?
Man, man. Three.
At the most. Yeah. they want the 2K package.
Man, yes. Yeah, they try. The only thing everybody picks up on is jelly. That's it. That's the only thing everybody's wanted to do.
Just jelly.
That's it, man. Jelly. I'm like, man, I can't do that shit, though. I can't.
Oh, we still got more time. Yeah. Hey.
I can't do it, man.
Whoa.
Yeah, that jelly ain't for me, man. I'm slap glass on layup, though.
Hey, kids don't even slap glass on layup no more. No. That's a big difference from back in the gap.
Man.
Go to the hole and show your authority sometime. If you're a big man, that was kind of like tight.
Yeah.
We doing a tip drill and everyone slapping boards. Like, it was... Like, hey, watch me get up.
Ooh, that's a light dunk. If you slap glass two hands, that's a light dunk.
That's like .2 dunk.
Yeah, it's
.2.
.2. I'm trying to, man.
Yeah.
That's, man, two hands on that thing.
And it's crazy. I say .2 because we had a kid last summer, and PJ will tell you, I got in trouble last summer. I tell DeRon Clark from Wagner to dunk every time he go baseline. Just go up off one or two and take flight and dunk on somebody. And he might have missed about all of his layups. And if you know D, he's very frail and light.
Yeah.
So as soon as he makes contact with someone, he's going to collapse on the ground like a unicorn, and he broke his leg. So it was unsuccessful. But it's crazy how he picked up on it. And by the time the summer was over and he was coming to work out with us in the fall, oh, man, it was like, what?
Yeah, he made a transformation because, shoot, I got a couple of videos of him going baseline and taking flight on dudes. Like, man, I was on cue about, like, man, Q, stop telling him to do that, man. Let's get these 2 points. But, man, it finally, like, after trying it so much, he got the confidence to really be able to do it.
Yeah.
And he started taking off on people.
And I think I got that from my college coach, Joe Esposito at Memphis. And basically, I wasn't allowed to lay up anything in practice. And I'm a shooting guard. I was a shooting guard. And it's ridiculous because I thought it was crazy, the whole idea and concept. But if you look at these D1 programs, the Dukes, the UKs, the Arizonas, I bet you if you go to their practices and watch them practices, no one's laying up anything.
Yeah.
Everyone's going 110%, securing a spot because, hey, let's face it, you're not the best one anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody's good. So us putting that mentality in D is like just showing them his potential and what he really could be doing. Mm-hmm. And once they buy into it, it just goes back to the whole living the hoop concept because that's what we're here for. And that's why I think with our program, we try to stress the old school way of playing. Even with PJ PJ didn't play AAU, it really doesn't matter because he still has that old school mentality of working out and getting his reps in and working on your game to get better. Because at the end of the day, that's all it was about.
Yeah, that's it. Like, man, it's crazy. Like, man, it is, man, one of the things I heard by myself, like, man, it was probably like 5, 6, 7 years ago. Because I went to high school here in San Antonio, man. Like, a lot of people don't know me. Didn't really get to know me until I moved back out here. So I went to high school here in San Antonio. I went to MacArthur for 3 years, man. I moved and transferred to a high school in Florida for my senior year. So that's how a lot of people, like, man, like, they don't know me until now, coming back out now and doing the things that I do now with basketball and just being around gyms a lot. So when I was here, it was just, man, time spent in the gym. My dad would get up, drop me off at 4 a.m. during the summer, man, come back and pick me up at 8 o'clock at night. So, I mean, I was there for every single run that they had.
We used to sneak in the gym.
Yeah, for real. And if there wasn't a run, then that was an opportunity for me. I get a little weights. Bit of lift in. Like, yep. I still was scared of the weights at that time. So, we'll go in a little bit and be like, man, yeah, I did these three leg extensions. And that'd be it. Then I go back cardio. In. Yeah, go back in and shoot. Just go back and shoot around. And just spend a lot of time shooting, working on moves, just kind of imagining stuff, working on here, kind of like above the rim, up on the roof, just shoot, no ball or no ball, just working on moves. Like, shoot, I have a ball, getting it. He's
playing ball without a ball.
Yeah. So that's it, man. It's just like, yeah, that's all. It was, to me, these kids don't do that, man. It's like, man, if I can't go anywhere, if I can't get this guy in the gym with me, then I'm not going. All right, well, shoot, sit at home. Well, somebody else is going to get in the gym. And they're going to get it. Or they're going to get outside to a park. Or they're going to whatever it may be. Like, that's the difference just to me in this era, in our era, is just the mentality of just getting out, going out, and just spending time on the court. Like, so much time is spent, like, at home now with these kids, with girlfriends and boyfriends, whatever it may
be. Snapchat.
Yeah, all the social medias and all that, man. Like, shoot,
it's crazy you say that because Isaiah went ahead and deleted all of his Instagram, and it was because of the fact he said I wouldn't work on my game, coach. I would just be at home on Instagram watching people working out and making moves, et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, I had to delete my Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like, yep. Wow.
Yep. I mean, and like, and I mean, Kira, same way. Like, she still got her Instagram, but man, she shut her Twitter down. For the season. She sets her Twitter down for the season. Like, man, I think her last tweet was something about, man, like right at the beginning of the season, about like, man, yeah, time is here again. Try to make this another state run, something like that. Something like that. But yeah, man, she shut her Twitter down for the season. And yeah, look, crazy. Where she's at.
That's good.
Right back in the Final Four. Man, and I don't think she's not who she should be right now to me.
Right.
Like, man, but she was on a mission this season. I still think she could have done a little more, but I mean, she's right where she wants to be, right back where she left off last year with unfinished business and her team. So, man, they'll be all right this weekend. It should be all right tomorrow. Just Sashi, good luck to them, Judge and Rocket, Lady Rockets, whatnot. But that's a huge difference. That's, to me, it's a big gap between the eras.
Right.
It's just the self-discipline to kind of get out and get it on your own. Without trainers and somebody telling you to do it, and without all this extra stuff, man.
But that also comes down to parents.
Ooh.
So let's talk about that, because parents are willing to pay.
You said it, not me.
I mean, let's be real. I train a couple kids, and I love my kids.
And I love training, and I love the training money. So if you guys want to still keep paying the training, then yes, you can come to us.
Yes. So... But just watching a kid mature and grow with you is awesome. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like we didn't have that, and we did it all on our own. I have my friend. I'll never forget. I met a guy from Philadelphia, and he transferred down, and he'll be on the show. His name is Carlos.
Yeah.
Carlos Payne, and very good friend of mine. He taught me what it took to be great. He pushed me to that next level, and I had a dad. My dad is very strong on me, hard on me. I would score 25 points, and Antoine Gillespie, all-time leading scorer at the time at UTEP, would be in the stands, and I would come out of the game, and he'd ask, "Hey Q, how many points you have?" I said, "About 28," and then my dad would say, "If he had 28, he should have had 40." And be dead serious, though. Tell me how many free throws you miss. Tell me how many layups you miss. Mm-hmm. And it's all true.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to that point and you have that dog in you, and I'm not going to knock any kids in our city, but I know a couple from MacArthur, and I know their skill set. Not to knock on my boy Charles Henderson, but he's a kid that I think could have produced a lot more if he would just have the aggressive mentality that he has when he's with us. Because there's no way he can't get 25 any given every night. And I know it's not being selfish or anything. I don't think it's about that, but it's just knowing your skill set and knowing how good you are and have the confidence to go out there and play your game.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, man. My dad was always about, man, look at the minutes you play. Look at the minutes you play. How can you not get 3 buckets a quarter?
But who really has that mentality? Because if you ask these kids nowadays, man, how do you score 20 points?
Man,
do they even know?
It's three buckets a quarter.
Yeah, it's very simple math. Yes. If you're listening right now, if you want to know the formula.
It's 3 buckets a quarter.
Who can't get 2 layups? And a jumper,
man,
and get fouled one time,
and get a steal. You got it, man. You are, because, and the crazy part about it is that kids do it. You have kids that'll go off at 12, 14 and a quarter,
right?
So you can't tell me that you get those 7 buckets, 5 buckets in that quarter, you can't get them anymore. Like, and it's great, but, and I may be contradicting myself because I didn't do it, man. I may be the biggest waste of talent that you have ever met in your life. Could possibly be that, man. Like, man, going through high school, I was all right. I was okay, man. Freshman, I was a B team kid. Just moved here from Virginia. Played football. So, of course, trying out for basketball. Man, I was a B team kid. Like, man, nobody knew me. They're like, man, nah, you want to try out for basketball? You're not going to make the team, man. He already knows who he wants on the team.
Right.
All
right,
cool, man. Like, as soon as that last football game was over with, it was nothing but gym time. Like, man, me and my dad got up for tryouts, the morning of tryouts. In the gym, like 2 hours before the tryouts, like at 4 Sam. Then we leave, takes me to tryouts. Of course, I make the team. I knew I was going to be good enough to make the team.
Right.
But it's just, man, like, hey, I got to get this extra work in, man. And, like, got to figure this out. Like, man, I'm not finna be left out.
Right.
So, of course, still end up on the B team with a little chip. Like, man, sitting down in the stands watching these A-team games, like, that's who you got ahead of me. That's really... That's who's ahead of me.
How did that motivate you, though?
Man, what? Man, I'm trying not to cuss on here, man. Hey, man. And I would say not until 2000, and this is 18, 2014, 15, is when I really figured out, like, okay, I was told there was a plan from with the A team and B team. Because now there's so many different high schools that are around San Antonio now, right, than there was back when I was in school. So... What I was told was from my coach now, this at MacArthur now, Coach Murphy, they said that what they did back then was they took the top eight, and instead of putting the top eight on one team and stacking the team and them splitting minutes and losing minutes like that, like
they put them on two teams.
Put four here and four here, and let them just get all the minutes all the time.
Oh wow!
Which I was like, okay, I understand that, but and I'm still in the bottom of the eight. Because you got me on the B team. So that at least means I'm 5 through 8.
Right.
Not 1 through 4. Which if you ask to me, and I'm not being cocky or anything, but if you ask anybody in my graduating class at that school who ended up being the best player in that class.
Right.
Man, every finger better point at me or it's going to be a problem. Yeah, like I guarantee I finished as the best player in that class at our school. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So to me, and it's like I said, freshman year. B team, sophomore year on varsity, and that's everybody's right. Like, man, how you do that? And like, I didn't know that whole story about splitting top eight. It just was, to me, it was about working, man. I was like, man, I played football. I quit football. No more football, man. I wanted to be on varsity as a sophomore, so I spent every day in that gym or on a court with a ball in my hands, watching basketball, doing whatever I had to do to make sure I put myself in position to make that varsity team as a sophomore.
Were you that player at school with the ball walking around every day?
Nah, I wasn't that one. I was the one that after practice would not rack a ball, go put it in my locker, come back after school, and lights off in the gym, and I'm still back in here just working. Like, janitor, like, hey, man, you got to go. Like, I was that dude, though. Like,
yeah.
I go right down there where Mac is set up different now, but in our old gym, It had a goal right there by the door where you had a little crack from the light, and that's the goal I sit there and work on. That was the one I shoot at. And that's when I just put work in all the whole time. Like, hey, man, it got to a point where I'd be there so long, that it'd be a couple of my boys from the football team. They knew they'd come right into that gym with me right in there. And should not get picked up by my parents about 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I used to get kicked out the gym.
Yep, man, if you don't catch me, I'm going to be here till you kick me out, till my dad get here.
My coach would be like, I got to go home. Man, yeah. Hey, hold on, coach, just let me get a couple more. Like, and I've been there for about an hour after practice every day I try.
Yeah, they was already gone. I was just, nope, let me get back up in there. Locker room, as long as the locker room door was open,
yeah,
go in, get that ball off the locker.
How many kids do you think do that now?
None. And it's crazy. Like, and some of them have the opportunity. Man, like, some coaches stick around, some don't. But, man, they got a lot of gym memberships, gyms, and all that stuff. We didn't have that. Yeah. I didn't have that. So, man, they got opportunities to get it in still.
One thing that's different at living in San Antonio, I'm from El Paso, Texas. But one thing that I find different here is the lack of gymnasiums and the quality of gyms, because you find these city gyms with tile floors, which kills me. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Tile floors are for like quinceañeras and stuff. So nothing against my people, because I am Hispanic, but not for a basketball gym. Yeah. Where are the wooden courts? So, like Coach PJ said, you do have to have memberships and you have to go to these gyms and actually, if you want to put in some extra time and you can't find a gym, because a lot of kids, they're not outside.
Nah.
We used to have the backboard in the driveway.
Yep.
And be out there bouncing the ball, shooting long shots in the middle of the street and lowering the goal so you could dunk on each other. Yeah. Oh, so like, let's talk about, you know, these kids, because they're not out there like that.
They don't play with each other, man. They don't know.
Coming inside with the black hands.
Man, yes. You had to have a separate pair of shoes for outside and your real hooping shoes to go like right. Inside when you go exactly. To the gym. Like, man, these old ones here from indoors, like you just go outside and out here. Yep, and got some new shoes for, man. Yeah.
It does get hot here, though. It gets super humid.
Man, I don't care, man.
But, hey. My dad used to send me outside every night about 8, 9 o'clock and tell me, don't come inside until you make 100 free throws.
Yeah.
And he was dead serious, though.
Like, I believe it.
You better not come inside until you make 100 free throws. And I'm like,
I believe it.
Man, this dude is crazy.
Man,
but
I believe it.
Hey, when it was crunch time and I was shooting free throws, I didn't worry about making a free throw.
Nope. Been there.
And just talking about that, these playoffs and kids shooting free throws. How many teams have lost from not being able to shoot a high percentage of free throws?
Man, I'll tell you, man, it was how many? It was, I think this past weekend in round three of the playoffs, it was like four, man, almost maybe like six, I think, games that were lost by 3 points or less. In just the third round alone, six games that were lost by like 3 points or less. So you look at that, man, that's free throws to me.
Right.
That's free throws. Like,
from teams that should have won.
Man. Well, whether they should have won or could have won, like it just, whether or not, man, if you're on the losing end of it, I'm sure you, man, you can look back at them empty circles in that scorebook.
Right.
Like, man, there's, I'm sure it left a lot of those on the stripe out there, man, whatever team it was. Like, yeah, I mean, just like I said, man, and people look at it like it's a minor thing, like whatever. I'm sure kids shoot free throws at practice and kind of mess around. Sometimes they'll focus, but,
man. Free throws are serious.
They are. They're big.
Had your
big
average. Difference.
Man, for real. That's another, like say, another way to get you 20.
Right.
Get you, man, like say.
And 20 points make you a star.
Man. It's crazy.
Hey. How many kids out there really know that, man, 20 points make you a star?
Ooh, shout out, hey, man, to possibly the best scorer in town, boy, Quinn Coleman, man, offensive player of the year.
Right.
Averaged about 25 a game. She was shooting about 8 to 10 free throws a game.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, and I bet I could ask him right now, hey, Q, what was your free throw percentage? And he won't be satisfied with it. Like, I don't even know what it was. But I bet he probably did 25. Averaging 25, he probably could have averaged about 30, 31.
Easy.
Yeah. Because, man, hey, dude, straight out the gate last year, was, I think it was a 47-point game out the gate, 42, something like that. Hey.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he can score that thing, man. But if you just look at the free throws, I bet. Man, I've got another example. Sam Kearns, his senior year against Steele, had 45 at Steele in the game against them. And I went back and watched the huddle. I'm like, yep, that's one left there, right there. I mean, you got to get this 50. Who does that?
He could have got 50.
Yes.
Just by making his free throws.
Free throws and a couple like other little like close little bunnies.
Right.
I'm like, man, that's that 50 right there.
Hey, that goes back to my pops.
Man.
If you have 40, you should have had 50.
Yeah, like what Chris Paul tell James Harden, who get that close to 50 and don't get it?
Right.
Like, man.
Come on now.
Shit, it's right
get
there.
Get that 50 piece.
Yeah, like, man.
I came up short twice.
Man.
47-49.
I know who wasn't coming up short. Paul Garnica. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you never saw that one.
Nah, who's that?
He was the San Antonio City all-time leading scorer until LeSean Brown broke it from TMI last year, 2 years ago. But Paul was. He broke Devin Brown's record.
Okay.
Hey, Paul was a bucket. Hey, every time I went to go see him play Reagan, he was in the 50s. And from Lee High School.
Wow.
Yeah, Lee High School, man. Like, I don't want to say he was by himself with no studs around. He definitely didn't have any studs, but he had some guys that could play a little bit, but he was carrying that group into the playoffs. Like, man, if I got to get 50, I'm going to get it. But I'll do whatever it takes to win. Whatever it takes to win. If I can just score 12 and we win, I'm cool.
Right.
But if I can get this, if I got to get this 50, it's going to be a long night for y'all, man.
And it's crazy. The night I scored 49, I thought I was doing something. I look in the newspaper, and my boy Omar Duran at Cathedral High School winds up playing at UTEP, went to Midland JUCO. He's out in Arizona coaching right now. He winds up with a 50 piece.
He got your 50.
Hey, and he had a couple of them that season. So that was just our mentality coming out of the Northeast of El Paso. It's just so much talent. But 50 points isn't easy to get. I scored 79 in a double overtime in a midnight basketball game.
Hey, I ain't never had 79.
And
that's 2K. That,
yeah, I found a glitch. Shout out to Glitch. Yeah, shout out to my boy Glitch.
Man, that's NBA. That's NBA live numbers for me.
Yeah.
I mean, to
be able to score that thing, I think, man, it's a very big difference from now.
Yeah. I mean, and also different, like, defensively was a difference. Like, man, to really get in somebody and keep somebody from scoring that much.
Right.
Like, the pride in it. Man, like, of course, man, some defensive rules are different, man, about touching and stuff like that. But, man, it was some pride in guys' defense. Like, you wouldn't want to let nobody score, get 30 on you.
I think it's the culture, though, because we could go down to Houston and get touched left and right. Yeah. I mean, beat up.
Yeah, you can't.
And whether or not you respond is all on you, based on your character.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, man. Like, it's, but I mean, and then sometimes in Houston, you get, hey, they'll ticky-tack it too.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
So, I mean, you just kind of depend on me, play to what referees want to call or what not, adjust to. But, man, still just a pride, though, to say, hey, I got this dude, man, and he's not going to get this. He's not going to do this. It's not there. A lot of kids don't have that, man. Some kids will say, hey, coach, yeah, I'll take him. I got him. But in your mind, you're still not like, man, yeah, I got him. And, man, you're not going to get nothing. You're not going to get shit, man. It don't matter what it – like, I don't care what you do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Every bucket you get, it's going to be because I'm on this bench and that's it. Or you got to switch somehow. Like, you got to transition.
Right.
But if I'm on you, nope. It's going to be a long night, buddy. But, see, we don't have that many defensive stoppers like that, man. We do got a couple, but it's not a lot. Not a lot at all. I mean, I guess that's takes a certain type of kid for that, too. Like, it just takes a certain type of kid to be one to go out and get 30.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, I guess they're all anomalies, I guess. And, I mean, you want the next one?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Come on, we there. We there now.
This y'all,
we in this thing.
Yeah, this for all y'all NBA folks out there, man. This, hey, this next one here, we're going to talk about, will LeBron go back to the finals and actually have a chance to win?
Does he have the pieces?
with this new trade.
With the SA kid.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan, go ahead and get you one, man. Enjoy that winning. So it's that's tough. I mean, I don't know, man. I think they can get back to the finals. I really don't think anybody stops them from getting to the finals. It's not going to be an easy road like last year, but I think they win a series of seven against Toronto. I think they win a seven-game series against Boston.
How many games with Toronto? At least five?
Yeah, I definitely think at least five. I think it goes six. Toronto get one, and two. I'm not a big fan of Toronto, man. I don't believe in Toronto because I don't believe in Serge Ibaka. Like, I'm not a fan of Serge Ibaka. Like,
is he starting?
Yeah, I thought so. Either way, he plays a lot. Okay. Yeah, I believe he does start. Like, I don't believe in Serge Ibaka, man. That's just not. Ever since he became since he stopped being Serge Ibaka, and now I'm like, man, I don't need her on the floor no more. Yeah. Like all she wanted, all she wanted to do is shoot three. So, nah, I don't.
Yeah, you got DeRozan for that,
man. You got these guards, man. Like, to me, what's changed the Toronto group is the young guys that they brought in. They've made them a little more interesting, but I still just don't see what do you have for LeBron. He got DeMar and Kyle Lowry. Your two leaders. He's got both of them by the nuts.
Right.
Like, both of them are like, man, as long as LeBron is in the East, I don't see how we could ever get to the championship.
Yeah.
So as long as your two leaders feel like that.
Can they possibly knock off Boston?
Can Cleveland?
Yes.
I think they can. I mean, I still don't think Boston has enough. Defensively, they get in it. But offensively, Kyrie, he going to get his. Jason Tatum playing well. Man, he hit a little rookie wall, which was expected, and that's another thing, man. The rookies in playoffs.
It's totally different.
Yes.
Totally different.
When things start to really get tight.
Yes.
It's going to, yeah. Man,
turn it up a little bit.
Yeah. Every shot has a little more intensity behind it. It means a little more, like, it's a little more pressure behind every shot. Like, you're going to have to be shooting, like, man, I can't miss this. I can't miss this. And it's big mental in that playoffs, man. So, I don't know. I don't know if they have enough Boston on offense, man. You got Marcus Smart defensively who does a lot, man. And to me, if I was Brad Stevens in playoffs, man, I would probably move Marcus Smart to more of that point and let Kyrie get off.
Move him to the two?
And have Kyrie kind of get off like Isaiah Thomas did last year.
Right.
And just, man, hey.
Kyrie wants the ball in his hands.
Nah, man. Yeah, we're going to put it in your hands. But we're going to put it in your hands where, matter of fact, we screen, because Brad Stevens runs some amazing stuff. So, screen here, you get it now. Your dude's already chasing, running through a screen here now, you get it. And now you get busy now after the screen.
Yeah.
Or with another ball screen coming, that dude's got to work. Whoever's guarding you's got to work.
Is that who Clarkson's going to have to guard? Or
when he's in, I'm sure he's going to be. I think it's going to be more George Hill.
George Hill.
I mean, more of George Hill, which is going to be tough for Kyrie with his length.
Right.
But, man, Kyrie finds some cracks.
He's going to get his regardless.
Yes.
So you got to shut down everybody else in this.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Al Horford isn't.
Yeah. I mean, and Al Horford's interesting to me, man. Like, he's going to do some things that I guess they're little glue things, man. As far as he'll get a big rebound, he'll get some good stops, some key stops. He does a lot of little things that Boston's going to need done. But, and that's where it's going to be. Tristan Thompson, you got to be better than you were last year. J.R. Smith, you got to be much better than you were last year. Kyle Korver, you got to be better than you were last year. So, I mean, I still see Cleveland as the favorite in the East. Even dropping these two games they've dropped.
To the Spurs.
Yeah, Spurs and Wizards.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean.
The Wizards without Wall.
Yeah.
Which are playing better.
Man, I hate to say that, but, I mean,
and I hope he doesn't get traded because of that. Because
Wall?
Yes.
Nah, he ain't going nowhere.
Why not?
Well, man, that contract ain't easy to take. Didn't he get $100 million? Yeah,
probably.
That contract is not easy to take. So that
And man, it was crazy, though. I said this at the beginning of the year, like first game of the year, about Bradley Beal and C.J. McCollum. And C.J. McCollum may not be as ready as Bradley Beal is right now. But I said, man, both of them, these guys are ready to be guys.
Yeah.
They're ready to be the guy.
Superstars.
Yeah. Like, these dudes are ready to be the guy. Like, Bradley Beal has been legit since John Wall's been hurt. Man, of course you want them both together. You want them both on the floor if you're Washington because you got two studs.
Correct.
But, man, Bradley Beal has been legit. Legit, man. Running that team just fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
When they get to the finals, they're matching up, or not Washington, but speaking of Cleveland, the matchups. Who's going to guard LeBron?
Or they get to Eastern Conference Finals, or are you talking about
the finals? The finals.
Who do they get to the finals against?
I mean, evidently, I mean,
they don't evidently.
Golden State is having a rough time with OKC.
Yeah, yeah.
And Houston
is running through folks.
Yes, but.
I don't know. There's definitely a but.
But how long is that going to last? Because we all know, as Charles Barkley would say, and they're not as efficient as Golden State, I think.
Nah, they not at all. Not at all. That's, but I don't know, man. That's tough. I can't just put Golden State as the shoe-in, though. Because, man, I like what Houston is doing, though. I do, man. And it's crazy, man. Y'all better not try to crucify me. But, man, I was never a huge Chris Paul fan.
Me neither.
Never was a big Chris Paul fan.
He dribbles too much for me.
Man.
Pound, 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 pound.
And I think that's you, because you're a scorer. So, damn, you got to, if your point guard is dribbling the ball so much,
right,
you can't score a ball. You need to be scoring it.
Right.
And from my perspective, I'm a point guard. And my thing is that, man, hey, I like to get it to my guys that can kind of, I know I can score, but I want to get it to my guys in positions for them to score. I want them being involved.
Right.
And he gets his 15 assists when he was in New Orleans and he was in with the Clippers. But, yeah, he would have that thing for a long time. And that's why I didn't think that was going to work. Because I'm like, man, they're both ball dominant with him and Harden.
I thought as hoopers, they could make it work.
Yeah.
Because, I mean.
And they have.
We just hooping.
Yeah, and man, they have.
Why not?
They have.
I mean, there's no ego. Put your ego to the side and just hoop.
That's it. Like,
James Harden could go. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul could go. Let's go hoop.
Yep, and you other three eat off us.
Yeah, because y'all going to be wide open. Man. So Eric Gordon, here's his knockdown.
Hey.
Hit that.
Ryan Anderson, here you go. Man. Trevor Ariza, here you go.
Here you go. Yep, exactly.
Clint Capella, they take this lob. Like, man, they set the table for them dudes so easy.
And, I mean, that's D'Antoni operation.
Man.
Now, with D'Antoni being the coach, I hate to say this, but he will run a player down. For example, Steve Nash.
Ooh-wee.
Then the greatest of all time, the Black Mamba. Who was probably averaging 40 the month he got hurt, trying to put the Lakers in the playoffs and put him on his back.
Yeah.
Ruptured his Achilles the first time.
Yeah.
And then the next year was the shoulder, I think. Or the shoulder was first. I don't know.
That's
a D'Antoni factor, though.
Yeah.
So how long will Harden hold up? Only time will tell.
That's a good question. That's a good question. Because, I mean, he hadn't had any injuries yet. He hasn't had anything, huh? No, bro.
He's still young, though.
He is.
He's very young. Is.
I mean, yeah, like those dudes had D'Antoni at little
I'm anxious to see what Russell's gonna do when something tragic happens. All that jumping he does. How's this game gonna transition? Because he's more like a Ron Harper before he got hurt.
Wow.
And Ron Harper was baby Jordan. So those of y'all that know basketball, Ron Harper, Cavaliers.
And with man, when it made
yeah.
Ron Hart. Ooh.
So
Ron had that game, man.
I'm very anxious to see. Not that I want to see that, because I love watching Russ play and his tenacity.
Hustle Westbrook.
So, but just the way they play, they're real bouncy, like a Derrick Rose.
which we saw what happened to him, man, after injury.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Russell's a little more – he's a little more skilled than Derek is. Shoots the ball a lot better and has a lot more confidence in his shot.
True.
Than Derek. So that's like Derek's like, man, I still got to get to this rim. I still got to be able to get to this rim. Nah, I mean, not that same Derek, man. So,
right.
Yeah, but he – man, to me – and like that early in the season, he had a nice little step. Derrick Rose looked good.
Right.
Man, after the injury, he's just, man, he's a mental midget to me, though. I was like, man, you just.
He had to overcome a lot, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm like, man, now you're thinking, like, man, you have to go and think about whether or not you want to play basketball anymore.
He can't play it the same way that he did, though.
Yeah, but you knew that. Like, you, to me, you knew that coming in, man. You tore the knee up. Like, hey. You automatically know, okay, I'm coming back. The rehab.
And he did it again, though.
Yeah. So you got to understand, I'm not going to be who I was 2 years ago in my MVP season.
But that's all you know.
Man, no. You have to learn.
You got to learn. He has to be Ron Harper on the Bulls. Hey,
yes, exactly.
And exactly. He doesn't want to be that guy.
Man,
and Jordan is that dude, not Ron Harper.
Man, yes.
And he doesn't want to accept the role, dog.
And he's right. And that's so now you accept the role or you roll out.
And you get traded.
Yup. Shoot. Get your roll on. So, man, it's like, yeah, you now he's out of there with nothing. Like, man, you could have been sitting on that bench. Like, just right. Kind of staying healthy. Playoff time come, man, get you some minutes. Like, shoot. Man, Darren Williams got to play in the damn finals with Cleveland last year.
Right.
And you would have got some minutes. Yeah. You would have been much more effective than he was.
Right.
Like, he was terrible in the finals. Like, man, that's crazy.
Even D-Wade wasn't tripping. He was like, it's whatever.
Yes. Stay healthy. Man, go out there and do what I can. And I didn't think he looked good with Cleveland. Yeah, D-Wade didn't look good with Cleveland to me. Like, but, yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. I don't know who Cleveland faces in the finals, but I think they get there. That's the West is going to be tough. Like, Spurs are going to fall out of the playoffs.
Yes.
And then you got to me, I don't think OKC. They're going to be a challenge for a Golden State if they match up. But so,
what's the conference finals? Houston, Golden State?
I think so.
I have Golden State winning.
How many games?
7.
Ooh, as long as it goes 7 out, man, that's still live, man.
It'll go 7.
That'll be live TV. And I think Houston can get them. I think Houston can, man.
I just think Golden State's mentality is they've been there before. Yeah,
which is, hey.
And they could beat anybody.
True.
They're not scared of anyone.
They beat them in the third quarter, man. Hey, if you come out in that third quarter not ready to play.
Yeah, you got a 20-point lead, too.
Yeah.
We'll spot you 20.
Ooh-wee. They come out in that third quarter, man. I don't know what it is about a halftime with Golden State. But they come out hot in the third quarters and just flip games around or extend the lead. And, man, those are scary quarters for you guys, man. If you can't kind of withstand it, take the little punch they're going to give in the third quarter, then hey, you're in trouble. So, man, but that's going to be interesting, though, to me, man, see who can – get up out of that West. The East is tough, but it's like a soft tough.
Right.
Then the West is like that's
it's talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super talented.
Yeah. You look at the two best records in the league are sitting over there trying to battle it out.
Yeah, you have a team with probably three of the best shooters ever to play in the NBA.
Man.
And that's just on one team. Man. We're not even talking about Houston.
For real.
So, and then the matchups. So, you have LeBron going probably against Iguodala.
Yep. Well, off the bench. But if they start. It was KD on him last year, right?
Yeah, KD's going to hold him first because he believes in himself and that LeBron, he can stop LeBron.
LeBron better come. And that's, see, what kills me about LeBron, because I'm a huge LeBron fan, man, is that when he comes in kind of with that cool guy, like, I'm just going to facilitate. Like, I'll just turn it on when I want to. Man, no. I like.
Come out the gate, yes. LeBron.
Give me Hancock LeBron. Man, I just took a sip of this yak, and I'm just going to take off. Like, LeBron. I want Hancock LeBron. And that's to me, this just comes out and dominates.
Correct.
Even if you dominate from the jump and you lose a game. Like, man, I think establish yourself. Right. I can't stand when he's just, here, just, post up and give it to you, get it back outside of three and sidestep fadeaway three. Man, if you don't go on somewhere with that,
right?
Like, nah, man, force these refs to call foul.
Correct.
Yeah, you've already put it out there now that, man, you're upset that you don't get fouls called. So I think it's probably going to be something that's looked at.
Do you think his supporting cast will help him more this year than last year?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Like, and they're going to have the same issue that we talked about with, like, Tatum and those guys. Like, man, they never been in this position.
Right.
Never been winners. Like, Rodney Hood would have been in the playoffs with Utah when he was younger, rookie or so.
Probably.
George Hill's been in the playoffs. But, man, Jordan ain't never been in the playoffs at all with the Lakers. Larry Nance ain't never been in the playoffs with the Lakers. So they going to run into that same issue where it's like, man, everything is a little different here. Yeah, everything, the intensity is amplified a little bit more here.
I think they'll be fine.
I think so, too, but I hope so. Because, I mean, I think my thing is, man, the work you put in kind of helps that.
Right.
And, man, and all I know from Jordan Clarkson is he's a worker. That's it. From days of opening St. Mark's up for him to come in, getting that text like, "Hey, Coach PJ, can you open St. Mark's?" Huh?
AKA the sweat box.
Man, hey, Coach PJ, can you open up the gym so we can come work out? And him bringing Dre in there, him and Dre coming to work out with Boom Man and them. And that's it. Like, man, he's a worker. That's all I know him to do. So that's why, to me, he's got a little more confidence in himself and what he can do. Like, man, yes, I've never done it at this level this far into the season, but I do this every day anyway.
Right.
So I think he'll be okay, man. And Larry Nance, you kind of play your role. Like, you'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, man, just rebound, defend, go get some lobs.
Yeah, they really need Kyle Korver to be efficient and consistent, I think.
And J.R. Smith.
Yeah, if JR just shows up, Henny and Yak JR shows
man,
up,
yes.
We'll be all right.
Man.
They'll be all right. I'm a Lakers fan, but, hey, yeah, I'm a King fan, though.
Man, yeah, I think JR is huge, man. Like, the way he's been playing since the trade has been impressive to me, like, because he's actually just been playing basketball.
Right.
Instead of just kind of BSing around. So, I mean, to me, like, I take him – like, catch and shoot real quick and, like, actually looking like you're involved in the game.
But LeBron knows what he's doing when he keeps his players.
You're probably right. you're probably very right.
He knows a little bit more about JR than we do.
Man, for real.
So, he's very picky with who he plays with.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree. I agree, man. He's a great general manager.
Yeah.
Say that. Great general manager.
Man. Yeah, who's running the team over there?
Wee, that boy LeBron is a man. Hey, I need let's get rid of this one. This one,
bring in George Hill. The George Hill Rodney Hood trade. That's crazy,
man. It was crazy. Man, if they would have pulled off the trade to get Kemba Walker,
yes, I was waiting for that.
Man, me too.
Free Kemba,
boy.
Hashtag that. Hashtag free Kimber.
If they'd have pulled that one off, I was going to be like, man, okay. That boy's got something down, for real. So, yes, yeah, so that's going to be interesting, man, see how that goes. And I know we have one more NBA topic, man. I don't even know if I want to go into it. I don't know if I want to go into that. Because them old heads going to be offended by that topic.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes left on the segment. What's the last question?
The last one is, this is one of Q's boys came up with this one here, man. Said,
oh, yes.
Michael Jordan isn't more skilled at basketball than Larry Bird.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's kind of heavy.
Yes. Yes.
Well, give us your take, Coach PJ, because.
Man, wait, okay. I'm going to focus on one word in that whole, like, the whole comment, man. And to me, it's the skills. The whole, it's just being skilled. And when you look at a skill set, you look at a guy being able to I'm looking at fundamental skill sets to me, man, being able to shoot, being able to handle, being able to pass, things like that. Like, just from that skill set, that standpoint are there. And to me, if you look at that statement, he may have a point. Like, Mike wasn't a better passer than Larry Bird.
Nah, not at all.
No. Mike wasn't a better shooter than a Larry Bird.
No.
Mike was, I mean, handler-wise, I mean, they both, man, Mike was probably a better ball handler. Neither one of them are really advanced or extravagant with it. But Mike was way more athletic, way more explosive.
Better dunk on you, though.
He would. I mean, they, and...
he'd give you the French lick dunk.
He would, yeah. I mean, nothing like when Mike get up in there and either he'll dunk you or he'll freak you somehow.
Yep.
But so athleticism wise, Mike definitely got him. And as a competitor, man, I'm giving it an edge to Mike too. Like, I know. Larry Bird is, he can compete, will get after it, man, and man, wanted to win just as bad as anybody. But I'm gonna give Mike the edge on being a competitor.
Why? Because he overcame Bad Boys and won 6 rings.
Man, why does that be about Bad Boys? So why couldn't he just win 6 rings?
Because he wouldn't have won 6 rings if it wasn't for the Bad Boys.
Man, the Pistons
beating him up every year.
Man,
and then diminishing my Knicks.
The Pistons are still the greatest organization of all time.
To not win 4 rings in a row like they should have.
Watch out, man. Man. I don't know, man. Mike was just, to me, he was fierce about the way he went about his business. Like, and I mean, of course, not. Yeah, I was young watching Mike, but Mike was about his business. Once he kind of figured it out, and like I said, got over that hurdle,
right?
And even kind of continue to get there to that point where he couldn't get past him, he was still like fierce about it. And to me, it's just like, man, after he got over, it's like, man, there's no going back. There's no going back. Even him coming back to the Wizards as an old dude, he was still a fierce competitor. He just didn't have he just wasn't what he used to be.
Right.
Same thing we talked about Derrick Rose. So he wasn't what he used to be.
Still average 20.
Man, this is crazy. Crazy. That's crazy to think that. And that, but that comes back to that, hey, 3 buckets a quarter. 3 buckets
a quarter. Jordan can't get 3 buckets a quarter?
3 buckets a quarter.
That's a lot.
Man, that's all you got to get, man. Get these 3 buckets a quarter. And if you can't do it in 12 minutes, 12-minute right. quarters. So, I mean, that's a deep comment to me, man. That's that one there draws a lot of, man, just everybody's going to have a lot to say about that one. A lot to say, whether it be from whatever angle or whatever, like. But I know a lot of people that say, hey, Jordan is a GOAT. And then they're definitely going to be like, man, there's no way in hell that Larry Bird is more skilled. But skill set wise, I give the edge to Larry Bird. But I'm still going Jordan as the greatest competitor of all time.
Damn. That's deep, Coach PJ. We're gonna wrap up the segment, well, everything tonight on this podcast with Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And IG, I don't know if PJ won't give out the snap like that, but we'll be right back.
Yeah. So it's going out, man. So got our topics in for the night. I'm delivering and giving these social media outlets, our tags, our names, usernames, whatever you call them. Myself, I guess I'll go first here, man. Just everything I got is at Coach PJ 10. So yeah, at Coach PJ 10.
And that's on Instagram, Snapchat. What's that on?
True, everything. Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. And that's me. I'll say Twitter is my most active one. I act a fool on Snapchat a little bit, just from time to time. But Twitter's probably my main. The main one I'm on. So.
And he had highlights the whole season. He was in the gym.
Yeah, true. It is. Yeah.
If you want to follow San Antonio basketball,
it's a lot of video footage on there.
It's a good source to follow. Me, myself, Coach Q, you can follow me at Live to Hoop. At Live to Hoop. That's on Twitter and also Instagram.
The
number 2. So it's LIVE, number 2, and then hoop. You'll see highlights from around the country, high school, NBA, college, whatever's popping at the moment is usually on my page. I'm thinking about starting to get into the shoes a little bit too, just because it's part of basketball culture. I think shoes are
Oh yeah, definitely.
are very important. Well, yeah. Not important, but yeah.
Nah, they are important. I need this. I gotta have them.
You gotta have the nice ones?
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think hooping, you remember that pair of shoes that you scored 25 in or,
yeah.
You know, like shoes are like very important towards basketball culture.
Yeah.
Or just culture alone. So, shout out to Terrence, Coach Terrence. He wasn't with us tonight. But he'll be on the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank everybody for tuning in, man. Appreciate it. Get with us again on the next one, man. If you got any other topics y'all want talked about, man, like I said, hit us up Twitter wise. You can hit it, like I said, Coach Q on Live to Hoop, myself on Coach PJ10.
And if you're on Anchor, you can also leave a voice message too.
There you go.
So just keep that in mind. We out.
Yeah.
Y'all be blessed. Stay in the gym.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Stay hungry and live to hoop.
Yeah.
Texas Tigers podcast.
Out.